Among the big events in life, baptism, confirmation, marriage, having children, scholars invariably have to add that great and glorious day when they have successfully defended their dissertations. After that, the PhD is simply a matter of receiving a hood and picking up the degree. This is the After Dinner Scholar from Wyoming Catholic College, and I'm your host, Dr. Jim Tonkowicz. After graduating from Wyoming Catholic College in 2013, Travis Judd, that's spelled D-Z-I-A-D, in case you're looking for him on the internet, Travis Judd completed his master's in theology in Austria at the International Theological Institute. Then he joined the PhD program in theology at Ave Maria University. This summer, in addition to returning to Wyoming Catholic College as teaching fellow for theology, leadership, and outdoor education, soon-to-be Dr. Judd successfully defended his dissertation, which was about the inspiration of Scripture. I asked Professor Judd for a brief overview of the questions he wanted to answer in that paper.
Oh, so my dissertation is about the inspiration of Scripture, broadly speaking, more specifically on a topic known as the incarnational analogy of Scripture, which idea essentially explains that Scripture is referred to as the Word of God, and of course, Christ is also the Word of God, so there's this analogy between what Scripture is and who Christ is.
Why is that a pressing issue for today regarding Scripture? What are some contemporary errors that you wanted to correct?
Oh, all sorts. Where to begin? The idea of the incarnational analogy is actually somewhat commonplace now among Christians of all denominations. It appeared most importantly in the Catholic tradition with the encyclical Divino Afflante Spiritu, and then also in the Second Vatican Council in Dei Verbum. In Dei Verbum, the idea is expressed that Christ became like us in all things but sin, and similarly, the words of God became like human words in essentially all things but error, is how it's expressed firstly in Divino Afflante Spiritu, and that same idea is taken up in Dei Verbum.
In a lecture that you gave about the topic, you said, just as the eternal Word of God took on human nature in the Incarnation, so the Word of God took on a human authorship in the one text of Scripture. Then you went on and said, just as Mary conceives and gives birth to the Word of God incarnate, so the human authors of Scripture conceive and give birth to the Word of God written. Now, would you tease that out for us?
Sure. It's a really neat parallel. It's something that Pope Benedict XVI takes up in Verbum Domini, and he makes a parallel between the way in which Mary brings forth Christ the incarnate Word and the way in which the human authors of Scripture bring forth the inspired Word of God. And so, according to this parallel, according to this analogy, there is a connection then between the human authors of Scripture and Mary, just as there is a parallel then between the text of Scripture, which has, as it were, two authorships, a human authorship and a divine authorship, and Christ himself, who has two natures, a human nature and a divine nature.
Okay. Now, as I read your argument, I didn't read the whole dissertation, but as I read your argument, I was reminded of St. Jerome's dictum, ignorance of the Scriptures is ignorance of Christ. Now, you appear to be arguing, in addition to that, ignorance of Christ is ignorance of the Scriptures. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a really close connection between our understanding of who Christ is, in other words, Christology, so our understanding of the natures of Christ, the being of Christ, and that gives us a much better understanding of what Scripture is. So Scripture is not just a human text, but truly has God as its author. It truly is the Word of God, but at the same time, it's also truly human words. So for instance, there's a number of errors. You asked about errors earlier. on the one hand, you have a lot of modern, strict, historical, critical scholars who will make the claim that Scripture is just human words, but not truly the Word of God. Sort of on the opposite extreme, you have the fundamentalist approach, which would say, well, Scripture is truly the Word of God, but not really human words. Both of these errors, in a way, correspond to many of the errors about who Christ is. So throughout Christian tradition, you have, you know, a whole array of different heresies about who Christ is. On the one hand, you have the Arian approach, which would sort of correspond to this modern historical critical, exclusively historical critical approach. And the Arians would say, well, he's really a man, but he is not really God. And sort of on the flip side, you have the Docetist heresy about Christ, which says that he's really God, but he only seems to be a man. He only appears to be a man. So in a way, this incarnational analogy, this understanding of what Scripture is in relation to who Christ is, sheds a lot of light, and it helps us to really penetrate between these different heresies about what Scripture is by first understanding who Christ is.
Now, you really took your cues from Thomas Aquinas.
Yes, very much so. That's sort of my particular contribution, I think, in this dissertation. As I mentioned, there are Christians of all denominations that are using this incarnational analogy. And, you know, in maybe the past 50 years, it's really taken on some steam in the Catholic tradition as well. But as yet, I don't know that too many authors have really appropriated Aquinas' Christology as the basis for applying this incarnational analogy. And that's really what I'm doing in this dissertation then.
Well, how so, if you can say something, say it briefly?
Certainly. For instance, Aquinas has extensive treatments on Christology, on who Christ is. He talks about the two natures of Christ, the being of Christ. He talks about the sinlessness of Christ, and I essentially delve deeply into his Christology in order to use those different aspects as the basis for the parallel then with what Scripture is. So when Aquinas gives examples of why it's necessary that Christ is sinless, for instance, each of those reasons that he gives correspond with reasons why Scripture should also be inerrant, needs to also be inerrant.
Well, and having been through the inerrancy debates within the Protestant church when I was a Protestant pastor, a lot of things rise and fall on that issue of inerrancy. I remember years ago hearing the Anglican pastor theologian John Stott speak on Scripture, and he said, we believe the Scriptures because we believe Jesus. And the question of should I believe Scripture hadn't really occurred to me at that point. But after I heard Stott, it was like, oh, well, yeah, I should believe the Scriptures, the Word of God in both cases. Now, you also make a comparison between Scripture and the Eucharist. How are they related and how are they similar?
There's a way in which Scripture is not a sacrament per se. Of course, it's not one of the seven sacraments, but nevertheless sacramental. So Aquinas explains that explains a lot about what the sacraments are and goes into a lot of detail about the Eucharist itself. And there's a lot of really neat, close parallels then between the Eucharist as an extension of Christ's work on earth throughout time, and Scripture also as a kind of extension of Christ's work.
Well, in a sense, we could say Christ is still preaching.
Certainly. Yeah, the Word of God is extended, as it were, through time, even with Scripture. So similarly to the way in which the Eucharist is a spiritual reality sort of brought to us by physical means, you have something similar happen in the case of Scripture, where it truly is God's Word. God is truly speaking to us, but it's through these tangible, physical, human words.
And while this isn't a scholarly question, I assume it's beyond the scope of your dissertation per se. I'm sure it's one you've thought of. How does this relate to our lives as Christians?
I think one of the most important aspects of this is recognizing then the connection between the liturgy of the Eucharist and the liturgy of the Word. These are the two parts, as it were, of the Mass. So there's a very close connection then between the liturgy of the Word, whose pinnacle is the proclamation of the Scriptures, and particularly the proclamation of the Gospel, and the liturgy of the Eucharist, whose pinnacle is the actual sacrifice that's made of the Eucharist itself. And so there's a way in which in the proclamation of the Scriptures during the liturgy of the Word, we are truly receiving God's Word in a way very similar to the way in which we are receiving God's Word in the Eucharist. Origen has this beautiful passage that I quote in my dissertation where he talks about we are so careful with the Eucharist that we would be distressed if we let even a single crumb of it fall to the ground. And we should be just as careful with receiving the Word of God in the Scriptures in the Mass as well, that we shouldn't let a single word, as it were, fall from our ears without it penetrating our hearts.
So the liturgy of the Word at the beginning of Mass is not the preliminary, you know, the warm-up for the Eucharist.
Precisely.
They're equal parts of the Mass.
Yeah, as it were. Of course, there are real differences between the two as well.
Sure.
Christ is not substantially present in the Scriptures in the same way that he is truly substantially present in the Eucharist. But nevertheless, there's a real close connection between the two.
Good. Well, thank you. And again, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
The notion that reading, studying, memorizing, and understanding the Bible is the domain of evangelical Protestants is pernicious nonsense that is contrary to church teaching. Church teaching from the very beginning. Again, think of St. Jerome. To be without the Bible is to be without Christ. The Bible is the church's book, and by extension, it is my book. It is your book, filled with all the treasures that God wants to give us. Professor Judd exhorted the Wyoming Catholic community this way. I want to leave us with this challenge, he said in a lecture. The next time we are at Mass, let us remember each word of Scripture is like a crumb from the host. Let us take care lest a single morsel fall to the ground. Let us listen to the Scripture, chew on its words, and allow it to transform us into Christ. Amen and amen. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.